My friends, in Jesus' grace and mercy and peace be to you from God, our Father, and from the Lord Jesus. Hear once again these words of Jesus Christ from his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. This is the word of God. Please be seated. So, are we supposed to take all of this stuff seriously? Or is there perhaps some way that we can slip out from underneath what our Lord is saying here? Well, I'm here to tell you today, yes, he means what he says. Now, of course, people will try to find convenient ways to try to dismiss what Jesus is saying here so that they can kind of distance themselves from this teaching. And the first way we try to avoid having to take Jesus seriously is to dismiss this teaching as entirely impractical in the real world. Ah, sure, Jesus. This is the kind of stuff I would expect you to say. You are, after all, a religious teacher, and this does sound nice and all. But really, come on. Who can do these things in the real world? You know, Lord, it's a dog-eat-dog world out there, and you expect me just to be someone else's dog chow? Just to lie down and take it? Don't resist the one who intends evil toward me. Turn the other cheek. Go the extra mile for someone I can't stand. You're kidding, right? Love your enemies. Do good to those who've hurt you. Pray for those who persecute you. Well, that's easy for you to say, Lord. You are, after all, the Son of God, and I definitely am not. So, sorry, Lord, but this idealistic teaching of yours is just not going to work in the real world. And so we dismiss what the Lord says to us here as impractical. And then the second way we dismiss this teaching is what we might call stereotypical Lutheran oversimplification. And it goes like this. A, Jesus tells me to love my enemy, to do good to those who've hurt me. B, we don't do this because we are, after all, poor, miserable sinners. C, God forgives my story. D, class dismissed. Case over. The teaching of Christ, dismissed. Go home, forget about it. He didn't really mean it anyway. And so, once again, we dismiss what the Lord says to us by using his own forgiving grace as an excuse not to obey. But once again, I'm telling you, he means what he says. He expects his followers to live in the way he has described here. And we must not dismiss his words too quickly, or at all, really. Now, to be sure, there are some grains of truth in these excuses that we offer to ourselves as to why we can't do these things. I mean, Jesus does tend to speak in dramatic, hyperbolic ways to make his point. Remember how he said, you know, tear out your eye and cut off your hand if these cause you to sin. So while he is certainly not saying here that it is sinful to defend yourself if you are attacked, what he is addressing is the matter of personal grudges and vengeance, which are sinful. We heard it today in the Old Testament reading. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people. It is not yours to keep a record of wrongs or to have vengeance, but rather to forgive and to return good for evil. And yes, he really means that. And as for that stereotypical Lutheran oversimplification, the grain of truth there, of course, is, well, that we all do sin. We all fall short of the glory of God. And his grace does cover all of our sins. We always need his grace, don't we? His grace is so mighty and so all-availing that he does forgive us every time we mess up, time and time again. Have you messed up and fallen short of what Jesus is saying here today? Did you lash out rather than forgive? Did you return evil for evil, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth? Did you curse your enemy and the one who hurt you rather than pray for them? Take it to the cross today. Take it to the cross of our Lord Jesus, and there you will hear him praying for you. Father, forgive them. Forgive them once again, because they don't know what they're doing. He prays that prayer for you, and then he lays down his life for you. Struck upon the cheeks, he did not strike back. Scourged, he did not lash out. Spat upon, he did not spit back. Struck, he did not strike back. But he took the nails in his wrists and feet, and he did not curse his cruel executioners or the injustice of it all. He endured all of it like a lamb that is led silently to the slaughter, so that by his sacrifice, you can be forgiven. You are forgiven. You will be forgiven. So that having fallen short, you may nevertheless stand in his presence on the day of Christ, washed clean in his blood. And yet, we must not use such amazing grace as an excuse for failing to love those who have mistreated us, returning evil for evil. Yes, he really does mean this. He expects us to live differently than the children of this world. Earlier in his Sermon on the Mount, he said, "Blessed are the meek, blessed are the merciful, blessed are the peacemakers," and so on. And he's talking to you and to all who follow him in Christian faith. He says we are the light of the world, but if we live in the same darkness that the world is living in, then what are we good for? He's not kidding here. He expects, and by his amazing grace, he empowers his disciples to live lives of love and of good works, even toward our enemies. And the good news is, he has the means to back up what he's saying here. And here's how. First of all, through Christian faith and through your baptism into him. All who believe and are baptized shall be saved. God laid claim to us in that washing, placed his name upon us, and we belong to him now. And that means we have a new nature. Through God's Son, capital S, we are all sons of God, lowercase s. And we now share in Christ's nature, which is love and mercy and forgiveness. These are the family traits and characteristics. They run in our family. And second, we are the disciples of Christ. And as his pupils, we hear from him not only instructions and commands, but also promises. We see in Christ not only an example, but we see the one who makes heroic disciples out of faltering fishermen. Christ calls us, and with that call comes the life-transforming power to make of us what he wills. We are his new creations. The old has gone, the new has come. We are being conformed to the image of Christ, and so naturally, we do more and more of the things that Christ did. On what basis then can Jesus actually expect us to live in the way he describes? Number one, because we are the children of the Heavenly Father. Number two, because we have been called by Christ to a newness of life as His disciples. And number three, because we are the temples of the Holy Spirit who lives in us and we live by Him. And for all of these reasons, yes, Jesus really means what He says. And He has the means to back up what He says, namely the means of grace, by which He pours out upon us over and over again, grace upon grace in His Word, in the absolution, in the sacrament, until that grace changes us. Loved, we love others. Forgiven, we forgive others. Recipients of mercy, we give mercy. And as enemies of Christ for whom He prayed and did nothing but good, we pray for our enemies and do nothing but good to those who've hurt us, always drawing our strength from His strength. Does He really mean it? Oh yes, He means it. Don't try to dismiss His teaching as impractical in the real world or as unnecessary since our sins are covered by His grace. It is true that we are saved by His grace alone, but it is also true that faith without good works is dead. And any attempt to wiggle your way out of actually doing what Jesus says here is dangerous to your own spirit and your faith. And besides, it really is much more exciting to live like Jesus says here. This is a life so new and so radically different from the world and so much brighter than anything that the world is doing that you will blow people's minds if you will love them like this. And by your good works, your Father in heaven will be glorified. It is the way of discipleship. It is our baptismal birthright to share in the character of our Lord Jesus Christ. And to love our enemies, to return good for evil, and to pray for those who've hurt you. Yes, He really means it. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, in our fallen condition, it is difficult beyond our strength to live as You have called us to live. But by the power of Your graciousness and love toward us, strengthen us to love even those who have hurt us and to do nothing but good to them, and so to reflect Your character in our lives, in our words and deeds. Amen. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen.